Thank you, Jane.
You're very welcome.
Wow, it's an empty room, my favorite kind, when I have to give an oral presentation. It's a little bit of a different title than what was originally in the book that you all have, mostly because when you're working with about 20 different people over six states and about 700 farmers, you can never determine exactly when you're going to get all of the data in. And so because of the magnitude of the project, some of the data is still a little slow in coming in. This is an unusual talk in that I'm not going to present you with a lot of field data, as in boxes that were put on and greenhouse gas measurements and carbon sequestration things. My role at the Iowa Soybean Association is technical assistance back to farmers. So it's really taking what the researchers put or find out in a traditional research practice and putting it back on the farm and making recommendations back to a farmer. So it's important to me to look and see what traditional research is doing and to understand what kind of impact that can have on the land, and then how in the world do I go back and communicate with a farmer what the best decisions are for them to make on their practice or on their property in order to move toward becoming more sustainable in that area. At the Iowa Soybean Association, I'm part of the technical or the environmental programs and services group. We do farm planning that combines conservation and farm management in an EMS framework. So a lot of looking at NRCS's nine-step planning process and combining that with an industry standard. Our system's been underdeveloped since 2002, and we really do boots-on-the-ground planning with farmers. We like to create a plan to help farmers address their national resource concerns, and so we're looking at the very minimum, a 590 plan, something soil management, Russell 2 P-index, and then a pest management, whether that be wind pest or doing scouting. In 2007, we added energy as a resource concern, and then in 2010, we added habitat. So we can look all the way through SWAPA plus energy plus habitat. Our objectives, like I said, is to provide guidance individually to farmers, increase awareness of energy conservation, and that has to be coupled with what's going on agronomically in their field and environmentally. We know that if we make a recommendation to a farmer and it's going to lower their profitability, they're never going to make that change. And so we have to be very cognizant of that fact. We have to provide a way to evaluate the alternatives. So we look at their system, we grab a baseline of what they're doing now, we offer some opportunities for changes, and then we have to evaluate whether or not those work or not. And then we incorporate those into a farm plan. Now, so I'm kind of going to shift focus a little bit and talk about kind of what's going on in the world of greenhouse gas management and why in the world somebody like me from the Iowa Soybean Association and farmers could be important in a discussion such as this. So the California passed a regulation that's going to require the reduction of greenhouse gas use by about 10% by 2020. And the regulated party in this case is the fuel supplier. So what they're looking at is they want to bring alternative fuels into the system that are at least 10% more efficient to produce or have 10% less greenhouse gas emissions than petroleum. And so one of the things that they have said is that they don't just want to do 10%, they want to look at fuels that are at least 50% more efficient to produce. And biofuels are some of the alternatives that they're being looked at. In this case, when they ran the model, they're using the GREET model out of Argonne National Laboratories, and some of our biofuels did not fare very well when they ran through the GREET model. Part of that reason was because when Dr. Wong developed the model, he intended for someone else to update the metadata behind the model, and the people who were running the model assumed that Dr. Wong and his group had already updated the metadata. And so there's been a concerted effort to go and update this metadata, not just on the farming, but also as it pertains to oil production and the distilling into biofuel. It's not just a California problem or issue. It also is the rest of the western states, the northeastern part of the United States, and in the past year or so, the Midwest governors met together to also talk about greenhouse gas emissions and how they can start reducing those as it pertains back to fuel. Like I said, in the model, there were several places that were lacking soybean meal, and then also in the actual production of biodiesel. But one of the big areas that data was missing was in the land use emissions and the farming area. And so they started looking for a place that had real-time, accurate data and what was really going on in America's heartland and the Corn Belt as it pertains to corn and soybean production. So we, about 2 years ago, put together a project that was based on a pilot scale project that we did in Iowa, looking at all cropping attribute energy. So everything from the day the seed is delivered on your farm and what comes with that seed and the energy that it takes to produce that seed and whatever product might be on it, all the way to the primary drop-off. It's about 121 different data points that are collected. So everything from what tractor did you use and what is its horsepower to what is your chemical and what is the embedded energy in that chemical and how much did it take to produce that chemical. So we're doing trying to do a scientifically valid field of study that looks at current soybean production practices, but with that we look at a holistic system. So we're not just interested in soybeans, we want to know everything that has happened on that piece of property as far back as a farmer is willing to give us data on that. We're going to analyze report energy in the soybean production along with the nutrient and soil management efficiencies and provide producers with an agronomic and economic performance data. So it is on-farm scale planning that can then be aggregated together at higher levels. So STARS was born. That's the Strategies Targeting American Agriculture Resources Sustainability. It's across 6 states right through the Corn Belt. And I am working with somewhere around 700 farmers. So on farm, individually talking with 700 farmers, 4 fields per farmer. So it gets, the level of magnitude with the data gets very big very quickly. Data is everything that possibly goes on to that farm. I think I've already said that. We have developed a calculator that's based on peer-reviewed journal articles as well as any sort of energy data that comes out of the manufacturer's guidelines. We look at direct energy and indirect energy. So direct energy is anything that you can physically measure, tillage, planting, how many passes did you make across the field, what does your tractor use, those kinds of things, to indirect energy, which is embedded in the nutrients, the herbicides, fungicides, and pesticides in the formulation. And then we allow energy comparisons across different sources. We take everything back to a common unit, gallons of diesel fuel equivalent. While that doesn't necessarily make the most sense in a scientific community, we would rather talk about BTUs or another measurement. When you're talking to a farmer, if you can equate something back to something they can put a dollar value with, it becomes a very powerful statement. So we convert everything back to gallons of diesel fuel equivalent, and then it also allows them to compare different types of energy. So if you can convert it all back to common, then it's something that they can understand. However, GDFE does not equate directly back to cost. You can get a rough estimate, but we know that, you know, different things are going to cost different money in order to produce or to accomplish on a farm. So just to give you a quick scenario, GDFE is equal to 1 gallon of diesel, which is equal to 1.52 gallons of LP and about 40.6 kilowatts of energy. So that's the conversions that we use. So what we did was we have a computer program that allows you to input any data possibly associated with the farm and the practices that are going on that farm. We look at not only just the cropping attribute data, but we also want to know what's your nearest body of water, what kind of resource concerns are there with that body of water. Is it on a 319? Have you ever participated in any sort of governmental program at all? What does that history look like? When we ask about no-till, do you do no-till? Yes. Well, how long have you been doing no-till? You know, what are the other things that you have concerns on your farm? And so we take the farmer all the way through a process of what are your issues? What do you see your issues? What are your goals? And what are you willing to make changes on? And so within our program, we can capture the baseline data. And what you see here is baseline data for 1 year. So this is a farmer. This is everything he put onto his farm within 1 year. And then we can stamp that. Okay, here's what you did. Now I can run Russell 2 and look at the P index and a few other things and maybe find some areas where a farmer can start tweaking his practice. I can then capture those as scenarios. And within that, we can then see the direct and the indirect energy that's going to be associated in the farmer's mind, the gallons of diesel fuel equivalent, the money that it's going to take for him to produce that crop. And he can decide what he's willing to do and what he's not willing to do in that given practice. So with all of that data, I've chosen to present 2 farms to you out of the 700 that we're working on. One of them is South Dakota. This farmer in particular had 41 acres in this given field. In 2010, he planted it in corn, and these were the inputs for his field. So he put on some UAN and some urea, some DAP and potash, some ammonium sulfate, which I thought, really? Again and again. Then he applied Harness and Cadet. He planted 32,000 seeds per acre using a conventional planter with a fertilizer attachment. He did some tillage in the fall and some cultivation in the spring. He combined with the corn head. He used a semi-truck from the field to his bins, which is about 5 miles. And then he conveyed that grain into the bin with an auger, and then he did some in-bin continuous drying using LP, where he took the corn from 20% moisture down to 13. So that gives you just a really quick overview of the amount of data we're asking farmers to collect. I should tell you also, with this, we also offer the farmers back a service. So not only are we writing a 590 plan for them, we really want to look at what are some other tools that we can use to give them a real-time glance of what's going on their farm. So we might use guided stock sampling at the end of season, look back to see how their corn used the nitrogen that they applied. We also might use soil testing or tissue testing during mid-season. We offer aerial imagery, and all of this is at no cost to the farmer. So it's pay the four by checkoff dollars. So in this case, with this gentleman in South Dakota, his indirect energy usage was 46.41 gallons of diesel fuel equivalent. His direct energy was 28.39, which gave him a total energy of about 74.8 GDFE per acre. It's a huge amount. It's the largest one that I've calculated thus far. I'll kind of show you where some of that could come from. A lot of it comes from the things he put on his field as far as chemical and nutrients are concerned. This gentleman is out of Iowa. He also had corn on 76.9 acres, UAN, some 6-18-6, some MAP, some potash, some Harness again, 33,000 seeds per acre. This gentleman did no-till. He used a combine, semi-truck, conveyance, and in-bin continuous, and he only changed his moisture by 6%. And so we really looked for two that had a lot of similarities, and the major difference here is the no-till and the amount of nutrient that he put on his field. In this case, his total energy was 49.19 GDFE per acre, and so that kind of gives you a picture of, okay, well, here's what you did, here's what your energy looks like, here's what your soil loss looks like and your P index look like. Now, what changes are you willing to make? You know, are you really willing to live with 49 or 79 gallons of diesel fuel equivalent coming off of your field in a given year? So then we can talk about where can we make changes. So this is just a couple of areas where we can talk with farmers about making changes in their tillage practice. And you can see with a given tillage practice or forms of nitrogen or rate even what the GDFE that is associated with each of those. Nitrogen form is a huge sink for energy. It's why putting on the right rate and the right timing and the right form all become very, very important. And even between just your rate becomes a pretty big place where energy can be found. I will tell you, you'll notice under manure it's estimated to be zero. We look at that as a byproduct, and that energy is actually associated with another life cycle. So either the life cycle of the meat that was produced or the eggs that were produced or the milk that was produced. We account for that from the time that you stir it in the pit and take it out of the pit. Then it becomes a fertilizer that the farmer is going to use. So with this data, we look at farm specific. We incorporate that into a farm plan. We look at it as a state specific. We can aggregate that together and look at what's going on across the state, across a given attribute, so tillage or nitrogen rate or form, and then we can look at a whole project. So our next steps, and that's really why I'm in this section, is to ask for some help or see if anybody would want to help. I think we have enough data that we can do some modeling as it relates to greenhouse gas and some carbon sequestration work. I am not an expert in that. I would like to learn, but if anybody else would like to look at 700 farmers' data on 4 fields across 6 states, then they should contact me. So I guess it's a plea for help. With that, I'm done. If there are any questions, I can take a few, I think. Right, Diane?
I think they found
good. Are there any questions? Yeah. We do. Yep. Yep, and we can all go all the way back to hybrid that was planted as well. So we look at the dates of everything, yields, all the way through any sort of, you know, we have all of the soil tests, all of the maps that were ever collected. We have all of that on all of the farms.
Scenarios there.
Exactly. Yep. I would agree with you. All right. Thank you.